Sunday, so make sure that you guys sign up and register in time. So with that being said, we're going to continue our series, House of Miracles, today, and I'm excited about what God is going to speak to us today. How many of y'all just feel like there's moments in your life where you need a miracle, you need God to show up, you need God to do something in your life? Come on, have you ever been there before where you're like, I need God to do something? And so we're in this series called House of Miracles because we want to stir your faith to help you get to a place where you recognize that miracles isn't just something that God did, but it's also something he still does because he has not changed. The Bible says that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. And if he was doing miracles back then and he's still the same, then that means he's still doing miracles today, no matter how they may look. And so he is the God of miracles. And so we're going to go to the book of Acts chapter 16. And we're going to go to verse 25, and I'm just going to ask us just to stand for the reading of God's word. Acts chapter 16, verse 25 through 34, and we got it for you on the screen. Acts 16, verse 25 through 34, and excited about what God is going to speak to us in this moment. How many of y'all need a word from God today? Just need God to speak? Look, let me just ask an honest question, just to level the playing field. How many of y'all had a rough week? Just had a rough week. It's been a rough, just by showing hands, it's been a rough week. I'll raise my hand with you. It's been a rough week. And it's like, Pastor, I barely made it here today. You almost got me watching online today. So don't ask me to do nothing else, Pastor. I'm just here, you know. That's all you getting. That's all you getting today. But Acts chapter 16, verse 25, I believe that if you press your way here in person and online, God has something for you. And that he has something he wants to speak to you. So let's look at verse 25, Acts 16. Love this passage. It says, about midnight. Everybody say midnight. Come on, say it like you mean it. Say midnight. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. And suddenly there was a violent earthquake. The foundations of the jail were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open, and everyone's chains came loose. When the jailer woke up and saw the doors of the prison standing open, he drew his sword and was going to kill himself, since he thought the prisoners had escaped. But Paul called out in a loud voice, don't harm yourself, because we're all here. The jailer called for lights, rushed in, and fell down trembling before Paul and Silas. He escorted them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household. And they spoke the word of the Lord to him with everyone in his house. He took them the same hour of the night and washed their wounds. Right away, he and his whole family were baptized. And he brought them into the house, set a meal before them, and rejoiced because he had come to believe in God with his entire household. I want us to go back to verse 25. It says, about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying, singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, everybody say suddenly. Suddenly there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the jail were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open and everyone's chains came loose. I want to preach from this theme of thought as we continue our series, House of Miracles. I want to call today's sermon, When You're Stuck in a Tight Place. Ask the person beside you, have you ever been stuck before? Have you ever been stuck before? Some of us are like, I'm stuck right now beside you. Yeah, I'm stuck. Nah, just kidding. Father, we thank you for your goodness and grace. We thank you for your faithfulness and how good you are and all the great things that you have done. God, I pray that you would speak to us in this moment, that you would give us clarity, give us wisdom and understanding through your word in Jesus' name. And every person said, amen. Amen. You can be seated. When you're stuck in a tight place. Just by show of hands, church family, I just want to ask us an honest question and would love your participation online and in person as well. Just by show of hands, how many of y'all have ever been in a stuck place before? Ever found yourself stuck? If many of us who live in this area have lived here for some period of time, maybe a few weeks, months, maybe even years, I'm willing to argue that most, if not all of us in this place, and maybe even watching online, because I know we got people watching from different states. Shout out to the people in Tennessee who are watching online, like it's crazy. But I'm sure all of us have been stuck in traffic. before. And y'all, I'm gonna be real with you guys. Your spirituality does not get tested more than when you are in bumper to bumper traffic. Some of us literally almost lost our salvation on the way to church today. Because you were stuck behind somebody who was just driving slow on your way to church. You were stuck. But if you live in this area, Hampton Road specifically, I'm pretty sure that many of us have had to deal with the demonic spirit of traffic in the form of the Hampton Roads Bridge Tunnel. Where, especially now where they're doing all this construction and expanding the tunnel, traffic has hit an all-time high at being the worst that it has ever been. Even the baby said amen. And y'all, I remember how many times I used to drive back and forth across the water being a student at ODU and coming home for the weekends and then working in Norfolk on staff at a church but still living on this side of the water and having to drive back and forth to Norfolk, back to Hampton. And when the Lord called us to plant this church in Hampton a few years ago, I gave God praise because I got time back. But I think many of us know what it's like to feel stuck, and you know what it feels like to be looking at cars that are in front of you but not moving. I know many of us know what it feels like to be going down an interstate and it says all lanes are blocked. I remember a few weeks ago, we were on our way to the south side, going to the other side of the water, and we had to be somewhere by a certain time, and I put it in our navigation system, and you know how it always gives you this prompt and an estimated time of arrival. So we left it within good time, and we planned to get to this place at 6:30, and we thought we were doing good until we hit traffic. And when we hit traffic and came to a standstill, the estimated time of arrival went from 6:30 to 6:45. To 7 o'clock, to 7:15, to 7, some of y'all are like, mm. And the sad part about it was we weren't moving. Have you ever been in a place where you felt stuck before? Where you had somewhere to go, but there was nothing you could do about where you were to help you get to that place? Have you ever found yourself like me at times and maybe, and look, pray for your pastor in this moment, because I don't like sitting in traffic, but I especially don't like sitting in the tunnel when there's been plenty of times as I'm getting ready to go through the tunnel, but then all of a sudden somebody from VDOT comes with a little light green uniform and they come with a little helmet and they come out waving a flag and it says all traffic stop right here. Right when I'm about to go through a tunnel. Has anybody ever felt like that before? You felt like you were on the verge of a breakthrough, but then you got stuck. I believe all of us can relate to that because I believe all of us have found ourselves in tight places and we've been stuck before. Some of you are here today and you feel stuck right now. Some of you are watching online and you feel stuck. And I'm here to let you know if you feel stuck, well, this text here in Acts 16 can speak to that. Because here in the book of Acts chapter 16, it chronicles an event that is absolutely incredible. But the characters here in this event have everything to do with two people specifically by the names of Paul and Silas. Paul and Silas, if you don't know anything about them, were people that were used by God to carry the good news of Jesus and his salvation, that any person who trusts in Christ can be saved, set free from their sin, past, present, and future. And Paul and Silas are taking the good news of Jesus all throughout the known world. They're planting churches in this region and that region. They're leading people to Jesus. They're casting out demons. They're doing all these miraculous, incredible feats under the power of God, which leads to the early part of the book of Acts chapter 16, because as they're traveling and on their way to another destination, this young lady who had this demonic spirit where she was able to predict some events in the future was following Paul and Silas. And the Bible says in the early part of Acts chapter 16 that the apostle Paul got annoyed by this spirit and said, "Spirit, come out of her." And she was free from this demonic oppression on that day. But the problem was there were people who were making money off of her predictions. They were using her. This is a form of human trafficking, if you will. and they were using her, but now that she's been freed from this oppressive spirit and this demonic spirit, and all of a sudden she is in a new life now in Christ, the people who owned her, I guess if you will, had a problem with that because it was messing with their bottom line. And as a consequence, now they go lie on Paul and Silas and have them arrested. And now Paul and Silas find themselves thrown in a prison. Which brings you to verse 24 of Acts chapter 16, because the Bible says that receiving such an order, he, meaning the jailer, put them into the inner prison and secured their feet in the stocks. Now, whenever you look at scripture and you're reading scripture, you always want to pay attention to every single word. So for the Bible here specifically to say that they were in the inner prison, that would also mean that there was an outer prison. But the outer prison was not the most secure area. It was secure, but not like the inner prison. The inner prison was considered to be the most secure part of the prison. It was beneath ground level, and it was reserved for the most dangerous of criminals and prisoners. But I don't know about y'all. Paul and Silas ain't killed nobody. They ain't robbed nobody. They ain't beat nobody up. They simply some two going church boys that love Jesus. And when I tell people about Jesus, but they find themselves in a prison secured in a way where they can't get out. Matter of fact, the Bible even says here that the prison guard jailer secured their feet in the stocks. Now, the Roman prisons back then were not like the prisons of today. Because one of the things that you would have to realize and understand about the Roman prisons back then, you had this upper level, but then you had this lower level, which was the inner part of the prison. And the only way you can get to this lower level or the inner part of the prison was somebody actually had to lower you into it. And once you were lowered into this prison, the Bible says that Paul and Silas specifically were shackled, but they weren't just shackled, but their feet were connected or were tied up and secure in these devices called stocks. And a stock was a type of security device that held your feet in place and sometimes your hand that restricted all types of common movement. In other words, if your feet were stuck in this stock, you could not stand up. You could not move around. If you had to use the bathroom, hence why the prisons were filled with all types of excrement and manure and had this dinginess and this smell. It was overcrowded. It was overpopulated because people couldn't go nowhere. They were all up on top of each other. And so I want you to imagine Paul and Silas here, just like this picture right here, which kind of depicts Paul and Silas, that they're in chains and that they're in bondage and that they find themselves in this tight place and that there's nothing that they can do about it. There's no way that they can get themselves out of this. Matter of fact, the only way that you can get out of this was somebody like a Roman jailer or prisoner guard would have to come in and release you from this. It literally would take somebody from the outside to free you if you were on the inside. And what makes this moment even more challenging and more discouraging is the fact that they didn't do anything inherently wrong to be in this place. I'm here to let you know there's going to be some moments in your life that you walk through, some difficult moments in your life that you walk through, and it's not going to be because of anything that you did. It's simply going to be because of some of the spiritual warfare that the enemy is throwing your way. There will be some difficult moments that come in your life that are not always because of your decision. Sometimes it's simply because you're being obedient to what God has called you to do. Jesus says it like this, in this life you'll have much trouble. But I think all of us can resonate with Paul and Silas who are stuck. Can I ask this a question again? Have you ever felt stuck like Paul and Silas? And what's interesting here is the Bible says that it was about midnight. Everybody say midnight. Midnight. Which means it was the darkest. This prison was not some exquisite master bedroom in the Four Seasons Hotel. It was dingy. It was dark. It was depressing. It was uncomfortable. It was not a place that you would just sign up for to go to. Nobody in their right mind would want to be in a Roman prison guard the way that they found themselves here. But it's interesting because it's at midnight, which means it's a dark time. But then it's also in this prison where there were no windows and there was no light. So they find themselves in a dark time and also now in a dark place. Can I ask you a question? Have you ever felt like and ever been in a time in your life where it was a dark time and a dark place? Where you felt like you were in a dark time mentally. You felt like you were in a dark time emotionally. You felt like you were in a dark place. Some of you are there right now. You came here to church this morning and you got the smiles on and you got your hair all nice and did up and you got a nice little edge up and you got the new additional hair put on and all that good stuff. And right, and you got your college gear on, and you know, you wanted to give God your best, and you got your smile on, and you came in here, and the welcome team greeted you this morning, and the online team greeted you, and you're saying good morning, but on the inside, you are in a dark place. On the inside, you feel stuck. On the inside, you feel as if you're in a tight place. And you and I, if you're not there right now, you and I will find ourselves walking through seasons in life where we find ourselves in these tight, dark spaces where it feels like we're imprisoned. Some of us feel like we're in an emotional prison. I'm chained to my emotions. Anger just gets the best of me. I'm dealing with depression and dealing with stress and anxiety. Some of us feel as if we're in a financial prison right now where we're chained to lack and we're chained, it feels like, to poverty. And it always seems like we're barely getting by or don't have enough to get by. Some of us are right now in a mental prison where you're chained to negative or even sinful thinking. Some of us are here today and you're chained and imprisoned spiritually where you don't have any faith at all. You're dealing with unbelief and maybe you're chained to sin. And I believe that some of us, if you're honest about it, some of us are here right now and we're dealing with some tight places right now. Some of you are here and you feel stuck. You feel as if your life isn't moving forward. Life is stuck. Your marriage isn't moving forward. Your career isn't moving forward. Your grades aren't moving forward. You're spiritually stuck right now. Emotionally, you feel like you're in the same place that you were in as a child, even though you're a grown man and a grown woman. Some of us right now are in prison right now because of some trauma that's happened in our past. Many of us right now may find ourselves dealing with some tight places. Feeling as if we're in prison right now. My family is having issues and you've tried everything. Your emotions are all over the place and nothing is working. And maybe as a student, you're having difficulty in a class and things haven't improved. Have you ever felt like this? Where you felt like you were in a tight jam. You felt as if you were in a tight squeeze. You were behind the eight ball. You were stuck like Chuck. I don't know who Chuck is, but we know he's stuck. Feel like you're up a creek without a paddle. Anybody ever been there before? I don't care how old you are, how young you are. All of us have felt the pressure, and all of us have felt like we were sandwiched in between one problem and maybe sandwiched in between another problem. We felt as if the room and the walls of life were closing in. We felt as if we were in bondage. We felt as if we were stuck. Have you ever felt stuck before? Where we've dealt with discouragement and we've dealt with disbelief and we've questioned whether God cares about us. We question whether or not he is for us. We've questioned whether or not he even hears our prayers. We've questioned whether or not he loves us because of the things that we have walked through, because of the things that we have endured. But I want to help us out today. If you feel as if you're in a stuck place and you feel as if you're stuck in a tight place, that in spite of that feeling and in spite of you being in that place, I'm here to let you know that we're not the only ones who can say we know what it's like to feel stuck. Because when you look all throughout the scripture, there's other people in the Bible who found themselves stuck in a tight place. In the Old Testament, there was a guy by the name of Joseph, and he was stuck in prison for something he did not do. You had somebody like a Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They found themselves stuck in a fiery furnace because they honored and loved God. Then you had a woman in the Old Testament by the name of Hannah. She was stuck in infertility for years while she watched other people around her have children left and right. Then you had somebody like the Apostle Peter earlier in the book of Acts who found himself stuck in a prison simply for preaching the gospel like Paul and Silas. But do you know what all of them had in common? Do you know what Paul and Silas had in common with Peter? Do you know what Peter had in common with Joseph? Do you know what Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had in common with Hannah? In the midst of them feeling stuck and in the midst of them being in this tight place, God showed up in every last one of their situations. When Joseph found himself in a prison, God showed up and promoted him. When Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego found themselves in a fiery furnace, God showed up and delivered them. When Hannah found herself stuck in infertility for a number of years, God showed up and opened up her womb and did the very thing that people said was not possible. When Peter found himself stuck in a prison, God showed up and set him free. And I'm here to let you know that if God can show up in their lives, if God can show up in their spaces, if God can show up in those tight moments in other people's lives, surely he can do the same thing for you. I don't care what your situation is. I don't care how young you are. I don't care how old you are. I don't care what your color is. I don't care what your difficulty is. I'm here to let you know that God majors in showing up in tight spaces and places and times in people's lives where we are stuck and we feel like we can't move forward, where we're stuck and we feel like nothing can come out of this. God shows up in the most difficult, uncomfortable, dark, demonic times that we find ourselves in. Why is this good news? Because it lets you know that no matter how stuck you feel, God can still do something about it. No matter how tight it is, God can show up. He can meet you in your dark place. He can meet you in your tight place. He can meet you in your discouraged place. He can meet you in your confused place. Matter of fact, I want you to write this down and get this in your spirit, that God specializes in showing up in tight spaces. I'm going to say it again in case you didn't get it. God specializes in showing up in tight spaces. He specializes in showing up in tight places. And some of you are here today, and you can testify to the fact that you have been in some tight moments in your own life. And you've been in some hard moments in your own life. You've been in some dark moments in your own life. But out of nowhere, God showed up and he did the miraculous in your life. I'm looking at some of y'all in here. I know some of y'all stories where you've been through some dark moments and you've been through some difficult moments that would have taken other people out. But all of a sudden, God showed up in your life and he made a way out of no way. He opened up a door that no person can close. He provided and he healed your body and he answered your prayer and he blessed you. And I just want to know, is there anybody here today that can testify to the fact that you know what it's like to be in a tight place, in a tight space, but God showed up and God made a way and God healed and God opened up a door? Praise God that he doesn't leave us in the tight spaces and places by ourselves, but rather he shows up in the midst of it. And I think when we look at Paul and Silas's journey and how they find themselves in this difficult, tight place, in this prison, I think that we can learn some principles that we can apply to our own lives when we find ourselves in a tight place. I'm here to let you know that you're going to go through some difficult moments in your life. I'm here to let you know you're going to find yourself in what I like to call some impossible moments where we need God to show up, where we need God to do the miraculous. I don't know if you've ever been in a place before where you were in a place of desperation, where you needed God to show up, where you needed God to open up a door, where you found yourself in a situation that if God doesn't do it, it ain't gonna happen. Maybe I'm just talking to everybody who got everything worked out, but I believe that there's a few people in here today who know what it's like to have your back up against the wall, to have all the chips stacked against you, where you feel as if there's no way out, there's no way forward, but God showed up. There's moments where we'll find ourselves in these difficult moments, stuck in a tight place, and we need a move of God. That's what this whole series is about. It's helping you to recognize that God is the God of miracles. I specifically have not been diving too much into specific miracles that God wants to do in your life. What I've been trying to help us to see over these past few weeks is that as he did these miracles back then, the key to us experiencing miracles in everyday life is by us trusting in him, by believing in him. Which leads to the first point that I'm gonna give us today when we feel stuck in a tight place. Here's the first thing you need to do. You need to invite God. You need to invite him in. I know that's not super deep. And I know some of us are like, Pastor, is that all you got? No, it's not all I got, but that's one of the main things that I got. Because here's the one thing that oftentimes you and I do when we go through problems. We panic. We worry. We become undone. We start questioning God, and we start wondering if God is actually with us, and we start doubting God. But the text teaches us that when you find yourself in these uncomfortable moments, that is the time to invite him in. When your marriage is hitting a rough spot, that is the time to invite him in. When you're struggling on your job, that is the time to invite him in. When you're dealing with an addiction, that is the time to invite him in. Because the one thing that the enemy wants you and I to do is to keep God out. But the question is, why would the enemy want us to keep God out? Because the enemy knows that if God gets into the situation, then that means he can do something about the situation. And what Paul and Silas teach us here is that when you find yourself in a tight place, that's the time to invite God. Notice what the Bible says in verse 25 of Acts 16. About midnight, Paul and Silas were panicking. Ain't that what your Bible say? They were worrying. They were complaining. They were stressing out. They were yelling at people. They were snapping on people. And they were running around. No, they couldn't run around because they were shackled. And they were... The Bible says that they were praying and singing hymns to God. They were praying and singing hymns to God. It's interesting because they're stuck in this dark place and dark time, but yet here they are pursuing God, seeking God by inviting him in to their prison moments. They're in a dark place, but yet they got a big prayer and a big praise. It's one thing to praise God when you're free. But can you still give him praise and glory when you're going through? It's one thing to say God is good when everything is good. But can you still say God is good when nothing is good? It's easy to give God thanks. Look, it'll be interesting because sometimes I'll be watching some of us and I can tell, I can really, really tell if something's great happening in our life because I can sometimes, I'll watch how some of us will worship and some weeks some of us will come in and we just on 1,000. I was like, oh yeah, they had a good week. And then other weeks they'll come in and same person and just be like this. So yeah, they had a rough week this week, huh? What does Paul and Silas teach us? That our praise is not based upon the condition of our circumstances. Our prayer is not predicated based upon the condition of our life. Our prayer and our praise is predicated based upon the nature of our God. They are praying and they're praising. How do you and I invite God in when we feel stuck in these impossible situations? Through prayer and through praise. You got two weapons that you can bring with you when you feel stuck. Prayer and praise. What is prayer? Prayer is talking to God. Prayer is communicating with God. Prayer is not me talking to God in Old English King James 1600 Bible translation. Oh, thou with lordeth, will you helpeth me get through this problemeth on my jobeth? Help me to not cusseth out my employereth. Prayer can just simply be, God, help me. Prayer can just simply be, God, I need you. You know what's interesting about this text, y'all? The Bible doesn't tell us what they prayed about. We don't even know what they were praying about. We don't even know if they prayed and asked God to get them out. Now, I would have. Lord, your boy is up in here strapped up, and I ain't even do this. Get your boy out. We don't know what they prayed. But I think that's the genius of the Holy Spirit of God. Because the emphasis does not need to be on what they prayed. The emphasis needs to be on the fact that they prayed. It doesn't matter what they prayed about. It matters who they prayed to. And when you and I find ourselves stuck in a dark place and in a difficult place, that is the perfect time for us to talk to God. To pray and invite him in. To seek his face. This is why the Bible says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16, rejoice always. Pray constantly. Some translations say, pray without ceasing, which means prayer should be a regular part of my day and regular part of my life, no matter what it is that I'm going through. And I love what happens here in this text, because here in this text, the Bible says that they were praying, which means that this was continuous. It means that this was happening on a regular basis. But then it says that they were praising. And in the same scripture, 1 Thessalonians 5:17, The next verse, verse 18, says, give thanks in everything. Notice Paul don't say give thanks for everything. He says give thanks in everything. Are you in prison? Give thanks to God in spite of it. Are you in a tight place? Give thanks to God in spite of it. Are you in a difficult place? Give God praise. Give him worship. Give him adoration, which means to lift up his name. Here's what Psalm 34 verse 1 says. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise will always be on my lips. Now, last time I checked, that word all means all. Hebrew is all. Greek is all. English is all. Spanish is all. Every language is all. All times. Everybody say all times. In other words, you and I can't be a conditional praiser. We don't praise when we only feel like it. Oh, I'm just not feeling it today. My praise to God is not based upon how I feel. My praise to God is based upon how faithful he is. I praise him. Here's what Psalm 119 verse 62 says. I rise at midnight to thank you for your righteous judgments. All throughout the Bible, there's things that constantly pop up through the scriptures in different ways. And when you see them, you got to pay attention to them. And midnight is a theme that constantly shows up in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, which means that there's always something powerful connected to it. Many of us are familiar with that scripture. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. What is the pathway to me experiencing the joy that comes in the morning? Being able to praise God at night. When it's difficult, when it's dark. And I'm here to let you know that you might find yourself like Paul and Silas in this prison, if you will, but you still have the ability to praise God while you're in your prison. Your feet might be shackled, but your praise is not. Your hands might be shackled, but your lips are not. You might be stuck right now, but the one thing that you can still do is say, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise will continuously be in my mouth. You might be in a stuck place and in a difficult place, but the one thing that you can still say is that God is good, even when things around me are not good. You might be in a hard place right now, but you still got the capacity to turn on a worship song and to turn on a praise song and to sing along, even if you can't sing. The Bible does not put a prerequisite on your singing ability to praise God. The only prerequisite for you being able to praise God is that you have breath in your body, which is why the Bible says, let everything that have breath praise the Lord. And last time I checked, all of us in here got breath in our body. Last time I checked, all of us in here are breathing. Last time I checked, all of us in here got a pulse, and which means if we got a pulse, that means we could also have a praise. And I think, why don't we just take about 5 seconds right now and just practice some praise and give God some praise for the fact that he is good and that he is faithful and that his mercy endures forever. And one of the things that God has taught me is that instead of you always asking me to get you out of a situation, how about you spend more time inviting me into it? Because much of our prayers is all about deliverance when God wants our prayers to be more focused on his presence. So often we're asking God, God, bring me out, bring me out, bring me out, bring me out. But so often he's waiting for us to invite him in. He's waiting on you. Here's what I've realized. Sometimes God will allow everything around you to fall apart to get you to the place to invite him in. You tried your own ability? I'm going to show you how smart you're not. Your degrees can't help you. All your knowledge can't help you. All the money that you have can't help you. Sometimes God will allow us to be in moments where the only thing and the best thing that we can do is to trust him. And if you look all throughout the pages of scripture, that's exactly what happens. People find themselves in impossible situations where they cannot get themselves out. And it's almost like, good, God is saying, good, I want it that way, so that way I can get all the glory when it's all said and done. That you don't take credit for my glory. You don't take credit for my delivering power. You don't take credit for my miracle working power. Because you know how we like to do sometimes. When something works in our favor, the tendency and the proclivity is to take credit for it. to have that false humility. Well, you know, I try. No, that's all God. He did that. Paul and Silas couldn't get out of their prison, but what they could do was invite God into their prison. Can you give God praise even while you're in a dark place? Can I help some of you realize, like some of us have been trying to figure out, what is the key to me getting out of this bad place mentally, emotionally, and spiritually? Can I let you know that it's probably praise and prayer? Not just a prescription? I'm not downplaying that and disqualifying that. But what I'm telling you is this. If you're only leaning on that and not leaning on the power and the presence of God, you will continue to deal with the same things over and over again. But maybe God is saying, I want you to also trust in me more than anything else. I want you to invite me into your situation. I want you to invite me into the dark place. Why? Because he is the light of the world. And if I find myself in a dark place and I invite the one who is light, he will bring light to my darkness. So if you find yourself stuck in a tight place, I want you to invite God in. If you find yourself in a difficult place right now in your home and in your marriage and your relationships, I want you to invite God in. If you're struggling right now to hope, I want you to invite him in. If you're struggling to believe, I want you to invite God in. I want you to give him praise for who he is. Give him thanks for what he has done. Give him worship for who he is. Because when we invite him in, he has the ability to change what we're in. Which now leads to the second point. I want you to look at verse 26. Watch what the Bible says. Suddenly, there was a violent earthquake that the foundations of the jail were shaken. And immediately all the doors were open and everyone's chains came loose. Y'all, this is a miracle. They are in the most secure place on planet Earth at this point. And yet everything has been busted wide open. And do you know what Paul and Silas did? Nothing but pray and praise. God did all the work. All they did, I want you to write this down, was watch God. You want to know what to do when you find yourself in a stuck and tight place? Invite God and then watch God. Watch him work. The Bible says that the doors flew open, that the chains broke. Can you imagine Paul and Silas? Maybe they had a little bit of light in there. Can you imagine they feel this earthquake? And what was one of the things that was common about it and during this time, earthquakes happen all the time. So that wasn't necessarily uncommon. But what was uncommon was the timing of the earthquake. Because the timing of the earthquake came after they prayed and praised God. Which lets us know something. When you and I invite God into some things in our life, that means something has to change. And even if it doesn't change the way I want it to, when you invite God in and the minute he steps into a place, he never steps into a place and leaves that place the same. Whenever his presence there, his power is there. And whenever his power is there, things got to change. The earthquake happened. Suddenly. Everybody say suddenly. Suddenly. At a time when they weren't expecting. God showed up. Some of you are here today and you need God to do something suddenly. I'm here to let you know he can do it. Other people around you be like, oh, that's just pipe dreams. I'm here to let you know God don't do pipe dreams. God does real thing. Miracles are abnormal to us, but they're normal to God. This is what his kingdom thrives on. Doing the impossible. And Paul and Silas, can you imagine they're sitting there? And can you imagine what's going through their minds as they're watching the chains fall off their hands? As they're watching their feet that was secure in the stocks being free and being released. Can you imagine these deadbolt locked doors? Way better than ADT security. The doors are flying open. Can you imagine what's going through their mind? We don't have nothing to do with what's happening right now. The only thing that we can do right now is watch. Can you imagine the awe that they might have been in? And here's what the Bible says, that the other prisoners were also there. Can you imagine what the other prisoners are saying? A lot of times we'll preach this passage from Paul and Silas' perspective. One day I'm going to preach it from the other jailer, the other prisoner's perspective. One day I'm going to preach from the perspective of the prisoners who are sitting there, and they're on death row for something that they did. And can you imagine them talking to each other, and they go back home and they tell their families or they tell their friends or whatever the case may be, maybe because they got released, I don't know. But maybe they're having some conversation with other jailmates and cellmates and things of this nature. Fam, let me tell you what happened. One day we were just sitting up here, and these crazy dudes started singing to God. And they started praising God. They started clapping their hands. And they talking about how good God is. And we like, what's wrong with y'all? It's dark in here. It stink. But then all of a sudden, the ground starts shaking. And we thought we drank something extra. All of a sudden, the chains start breaking. And we trying to figure out what's going on. And all of a sudden, the doors flew open. And now we're really trying to figure out what's going on. Can you imagine what they thinking? We have never seen anything like this. This is not supposed to happen. But we serve a God who majors in doing things that aren't supposed to happen. We have a God who majors in performing the miraculous. We have a God who majors in doing the impossible. We have a God who is majoring in blowing our minds and doing things that don't make sense. He says, watch. Watch. Everybody say, watch. I think that's what God is inviting for some of us to do. Because for some of us, he says, you have been having your hands too much in what I'm trying to do. It's almost like God is saying to some of us, stop trying to micromanage the miracle I'm trying to bring in your life. You're messing it up. Take your hand. You already had the conversation with the person. Let me deal with their hearts now. You already sent one email. Why do you continue to send more? And God is saying, watch. And this is something that's not uncommon in Scripture, because in the Old Testament, when God delivered the children of Israel from Egyptian captivity, the Bible says that he delivered them through the Red Sea. But right before he did that, God spoke to Moses to tell the people in Exodus 14:13. He says, but Moses said to the people, don't be afraid. Stand firm and see the Lord. Stand firm. Be still. Some of us got a problem with being still. Be still. God don't need your help. Let him work. Or as my kids say, let him cook. Let him do his thing. Be still and see the Lord's salvation. And I love what the Bible says next. He will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians that you see today, you will never see again. The Lord will fight for you, and you must be quiet. I'm here to let you know that God is working around you even when it seems like nothing is working around you. I'm here to let you know that God is on your side. He has not forgotten about you. He is never leaving you. He has never forsaken you. I know on the surface it looks as if nothing is good, and I know on the surface it looks as if nothing is working, but I'm here to let you know that God is still working in ways that you don't see. He is working behind the scenes. He is working beneath the surface. Even when nothing appears to be working, God is still working. How do I know this to be true? Because Romans chapter 8 verse 28 says it like this, that we know that all things work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose. I'm here to let you know that your situation may not be good, but God is actually working it out for your good and his glory. Your situation may not be the most pleasant. It might be dark. It might be uncomfortable, but I'm here to let you know that God still has his hand on it. He is not falling asleep at the wheel of your life. He is still working. He is still moving, and all he's inviting us to do is to watch him work. Watch him work. Tell the person beside you, just watch him. Just watch him. You know, one of the things that I've been praying for in this series is that week after week, we would hear testimonies of God doing the miraculous in people's lives. And y'all, we've been hearing it already. We've been hearing how God has been opening up doors. We've been hearing how God has been healing bodies. Why? Because he is the God of miracles. And all he is asking us to do is to invite him in. And it's to trust him. And it's to believe in him. And once we trust in him, and once we believe in him, that's when we got to stand still and watch him do what only he can do. That's when we got to stand still and watch him break chains and watch him break addiction and watch him break strongholds. God is the God who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or imagine. All we got to do is watch him. Watch him work. Watch him. Seek him. Trust him. And I know for some of us this is a challenge, because you love to always be doing something. But I'm here to let you know you can't do what only God can do. Your money can't do it. Your friends can't do it. Only he can do it. And the Bible says here that when all this happened, the jailer, verse 27, woke up and he saw the doors of the prison standing open. He drew his sword and was going to kill himself since he thought the prisoners had escaped. Because one of the things that would happen is if you were on duty and you were guarding prisoners, and prisoners, if they escaped, that the guard who was on duty that day was considered to have something to do with the prisoners escaping, and they would now experience capital punishment and be killed themselves. So in this jailer's minds, he's thinking that they got away, and he's getting ready to commit suicide. But then the Bible says this. Paul called out in a loud voice, verse 28, "Don't harm yourself because we're still here." Now, I don't know about y'all, but if my chains have fallen off my hands and my feet, if them prison doors have flown open, your boy is not staying in prison. I'm out of here. Usain Bolt on him. I'm gone. But Paul and Silas stay here. Why do they stay here? Because I believe that somewhere along the way, they recognize that we are here in this prison not for us. We are actually here on assignments. And the miracle that God has done here for us is actually not just for us, it's for others as well. Which leads me to my third point, that when you find yourself in a stuck place, when God does the miraculous, when God blows your mind, when God actually shows up, it is not just for you to hold it to yourself. No, it's actually for you to do this next thing, to share God. When you find yourself in a stuck place, don't just invite him, don't just watch him work, but now share. Share about his goodness. And I like what the jailer says here. The jailer says, what do I got to do to be saved? Because he's convinced in this moment that this God that y'all were singing about, this God that you were preaching about, I've seen it with my own eyes, that he is exactly who y'all say he is. That he has done something that nobody else can do. That he has caused these doors to fly open miraculously. That he has caused these chains to break miraculously. That he has caused an earthquake to happen miraculously. Only God, the one that y'all talking about, can do this. What do I got to do to know this God? And Paul says, the only thing you got to do, bro, is believe in Jesus and you'll be saved. What I love about this verse, this is one of the most beautiful verses in all of Scripture, because it really summarizes what the Christian faith is all about. While all these other world religions that are fake, by the way, say that you got to do this to be saved and you got to do this to get to heaven, the only thing that Jesus says is you got to do is believe. Why? Because he's already done all the work for us. That's the gospel and the good news of Jesus Christ, that we don't get into heaven and we're not saved from our sin because of the good deeds that we do. No, we are saved from our sin. We are saved from the penalty of our sin, which is death, not because of what we do, but because of believing in what Jesus has done on the cross through the crucifixion and through the resurrection. And I don't know about you, but when I think about the goodness of Jesus and when I think about salvation and when I think about how I can get into heaven and how it's not based upon me, thank God that it's not based upon good behavior. Thank God that it's not based upon me getting it all right, but thank God that it's based upon a perfect Savior. It's based upon a perfect God. It's based upon perfect grace. He says the only thing that you got to do is believe, which is why Jesus says in John 14:6 that I am the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody comes to the Father except through me. Buddha is not the way to heaven. Allah is not the way to heaven. All these other superficial religions are not the way to heaven. The only way for salvation to come into your life, the only way for you and I to be in the family of God, the only way for you and I to be right with God is by believing in the Son of God, which is Jesus Christ, the one who bled for you, the one who died for you, the one who raised for you. He said, all you got to do is believe. Could you imagine what some people are saying? That's too good to be true. Paul might be saying it's too good not to be true. Yeah. All you got to do is believe. Just believe. Nothing else is needed. Pancakes, just add water. Jesus, just believe. Nothing else is added. I done did it. I am the ingredients. All you got to do is believe. All you got to do is trust. And the principle here is this, that while Paul and Silas are still stuck here in prison, they share God's gift of salvation in the form of Jesus Christ with this man. Paul and Silas point this man to Jesus. It's the Lord Jesus that they're lifting up.
And why is this so profound, family? Because when God does the miraculous in our life, it's easy just to think that it's just for us. I'm here to let you know, no, it's not. It's actually for others as well. Because if Paul and Silas would have only thought about themselves in this moment, and if they would have left like me, and y'all would have left too, don't be looking at me like that. You in prison for something you did not do. You out of here. Catch me if you can. But they didn't leave, y'all. They stayed there. And I was thinking, and I never thought about this. I feel like the Spirit of God just gave me fresh revelation earlier this week when I was preparing and praying into this. If Paul and Silas would have not stayed and would have left, this man would have died two deaths. He would have died a physical death because he was about to kill himself. But then more importantly, he would have died a spiritual death, being eternally separated from God. But because they stayed in the prison when they could have left, they not only saved his physical life, but by them sharing Christ, he has now been saved eternally. I'm here to let you know, family, that the miracle that God does in your life is not just for your life. It's so that way other people who are around you who are stuck can experience his glorious grace and his glorious goodness and his glorious love. The miracle that God does in your life is not just for your benefit. It's not just for your edification. It is for the edification of others around you. The miracles that he does in our lives are for us to point people to him. Not to say how good we are, but to say how good he is. So when you share with others how you came out of a difficult moment, when people are talking with you on your job and you're like, how did you make it through that dark moment? You can point them to the one who got you through. Well, I'm glad you asked how I got through this, because the only way I got through this dark moment, it was not because of my skill. It was not because of my resource. It was not because of my boo. It was not because of my spouse. It was not because of my intellect. The only way I got through this was because of the power of Christ. It was because of the blood of Jesus. It was because of the grace of God. It was because of the mercy of God. That's the only way that I got through the dark moment that I've been walking through. That's the only way that I was able to walk out of the doctor's report even when they said I was going to die. That's the only way that I was able to survive the car accident, because God has been good. And when you begin to share that, it becomes appealing to other people. And it leads to people like the jailer saying, what do I got to do to receive this? And the Bible says, I want you to look in verse 32. It says, and they spoke the word of the Lord to him, along with everyone in his house. Y'all want to know why we call this series House of Miracles? Because so many of the miracles that God does in people's lives took place in a house, metaphorically representing their life. Isn't it interesting that the miracle that took place in the prison house has now made its way to a personal house? A miracle that took place in a dark place has now given birth to something in another place. I'm here to let us know that miracles are signs for us to share God's love. When you pray and ask God to bring a breakthrough in your life, you really should be praying not that it would just bless you, but that it would be a blessing to somebody else. God, would you provide for me? No, it's not just for you. God, would you provide for me so I can bless somebody else? God, would you open up a door so I can open up a door for somebody else? God, would you heal me so that I can tell somebody else who's going through something similar that he can heal them? That's what it's about. Here's what the Bible says in Psalm 105, verse 2. It says, sing praise to him. Tell about all his wondrous works. Y'all, this jailer didn't just get saved. His whole family did. Maybe his wife, maybe his kids, maybe his parents, maybe his grandparents, I don't know. But the whole house got saved and then got baptized. Can I let you know something, family? You got people around you right now who are stuck in sin, stuck in darkness, stuck in bondage, and God wants to use you to help them to get free. God wants to do something powerful in your life so that way they can recognize that he can also do something powerful in their life. Let me say it like this, that the miracle that God does for you is actually also a ministry that he uses for someone else. The miracle that he performs in my life, it ain't just for my life, it's also for someone else's life. I'm here to let you know today that God wants to open up doors in your life, but they're not just for your life. He wants to open up the doors of salvation to other people who are in your life, who are in your sphere of influence, people who are on your job, people who are in your community, people who are in the same class as you. I'm here to let you know that God wants to use you to be like a walking billboard of his mercy. That if he can do it for me, he could also do it for you. If he can set me free from my sin, he could also set you free from your sin. That if he set me free from an addiction, he could also set you free from an addiction. He wants us to share him with other people. I'm going to close with this thought. What I love about this story, I was talking with a pastor friend of mine, and he was sharing about how his church had started streaming and sending their sermons to multiple prisons in different states all around the country, about 10 different states all around the country. They were going into these different correctional facilities. And he recently, this past week, got a letter back from one of the inmates who said that she was watching his message and has been watching his messages for a number of weeks. And one message in particular, he talked about how they as a church were going to be praying and fasting, very similar to kind of what we do. And she decided that she was going to pray and fast, and she was going to drink only water for 3 days as a fast to God. And she was asking God not to break her out of prison, but to break her out of an addiction that she dealt with since she was a child. Do y'all know what happened? That within a matter of days, after the fast was done, she wrote back in that same letter that the addiction that she had prior to the fast, when she began to seek God and when she began to trust God, because she had heard about his goodness from other people, she had heard about how he had moved in the lives of other people and thought that she could also experience the same thing for herself. When she trusted God and when she invited God into her dark place, into her tight place, into her place of bondage, that's when God showed up in her life and didn't necessarily free her from prison, but freed her from an addiction. And the shout, y'all, was it didn't just bless her, but now other inmates in the same prison were also now deciding to seek God for themselves. I'm here to let you know, guys, that when God moves in your life, it's not just for you. He also wants to move in the lives of other people. He wants to set other people free. He wants to heal other people's bodies. He wants to open other people's eyes. I'm here to let you know that God is the God who can free you no matter where you find yourself, in a stuck place, in a tight place. And that's where some of you are here today. I want to invite you to stand to our feet in this moment. We're going to close out service. Some of you are here today and you find yourself in this tight place, and you think that because you're stuck and it feels like you're in a situation that can't change, that can't get better, can't move forward, there's no hope. But I'm here to let you know that God specializes in doing miracles in tight places. And the reason why I get excited about that is not because of what God did for Joseph in the Old Testament, Hannah in the Old Testament, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, Peter, Jonah, other people who were in tight spots, even Paul and Silas. The reason why I have so much hope and confidence that God can do it is because on a Friday 2,000 plus years ago, our Lord Jesus Christ found himself on a cross, stuck between two thieves, one on his left, one on his right. He was dying on the cross for our sins. And when he died, his body was taken down off the cross, and it was placed in a tomb, stuck in a tomb. And not only was his body stuck in a tomb, but then they rolled the stone and stuck the stone cover in front of the tomb and put a seal on it as a demonstration that nobody was getting in and nobody was getting out. And he was stuck there Friday, and he was stuck there on Saturday. But the Bible says early on Sunday morning, an earthquake started to shake up the grounds. Movement started to happen. And then all of a sudden, the tomb was rolled away and the stone was rolled away and an angel came down and the women came to the tomb and the disciples came to the tomb and there was nobody in the tomb. Why? Because our Savior, who was stuck on Friday, got out of the tomb on Sunday. And I'm here to let you know that whatever you find yourself stuck in, you can come out of. Why? Because Jesus on your behalf has already overcome death. He has already overcome sin. He has already overcome the very thing that is trying to imprison you. I'm here to let you know that nothing could hold Jesus down. If you're in Christ, nothing can hold you down. And that whatever you find yourself in bondage to, he can break you out of. I don't care what it looks like. The resurrection is proof that his power is unlimited. And he showed it here with Paul and Silas. He broke them out of prison. And I believe he wants to do the same thing for all of you here today and online. He wants to break you out of some prisons. Jesus says in Luke chapter 4 that the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives, to declare the year of the Lord's favor. Some of you all are here today and you've been in bondage for so long and you begin to just accept the reality. This is how it's going to always be. But I'm here to tell the devil that he is a liar straight from the pit of hell. How it's been is not how it always has to be. No, we serve a God who majors in doing the impossible. We serve a God and we love a God and we got access to a God who is able to bust us out of some things because of Jesus. So with heads bowed and eyes closed, if you're here today and you find yourself stuck in a tight place, you find yourself stuck in an impossible place, like Paul and Silas, chained down to some things. Some of you are chained down to your trauma from your past. Some of you have allowed past pain to become your identity. You've become a victim. But Jesus is trying to make you a victor, because in him we're more than conquerors through him who loves us. I'm here to let you know that today is a day of new beginnings. Today can be a day where you are set free. Today can be a day like this jailer where you come to faith in Christ. Today could be a day where you come to know his power, his presence in your own life. If you're here this morning, this afternoon, if you're here today, I want to extend the opportunity to you to trust in Christ, to give your life to Jesus, to say yes to him. If you're here today and you've never said yes to him, if you've never given him your life, you've never given him your heart, today is the day for that to happen. I believe that some of you are here today, you've never accepted Christ into your life, but today your heart prayer needs to be the same as the jailer. What must I do to be saved? And the answer is simple. Believe in Jesus. Receive him as Lord. Receive him as Savior. So if you're here this morning and you're saying, Pastor Edwin, today I want to receive him, I want to believe in him, I want you to say these words after me. Say, Jesus, I give you my life. I believe that you died for my sins. I believe that you raised back to life to give me new life. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for loving me. I receive your love. I receive your salvation. In your name I pray. And every person says,